What a way to enter into the presence of God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We're excited to see what you're going to do today. Lord, we need you now more than ever. Jesus, be enthroned in this place today. Holy Spirit, come and magnify the Son here today. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to every heart here today. Lord, that every mind will be arrested to your word today. Lord, let your word be like a double-edged sword today that brings division between flesh and spirit, between what we thought were right and what you say is right. Between what we believed once was right, but between and what you want us to know what is right. Bring division between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean, the pure and the impure, Lord. And make us sensitive to your spirit, Lord, like never before. Thank you, God. I've got such a wonderful privilege to be able to speak to you all about, I guess my best friend, the Holy Spirit. And there's so much I can talk about. I think my biggest challenge is to just reveal a little bit about himself to you all today. And that the Holy Spirit, you would have heard God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think he is probably the most misunderstood in the Trinity. People think of him that he's, if you can go to the first slide, that sometimes they hear the words Holy Ghost and they think he's a ghost. But to hear about the fire, I think he's a fire. He's a force. Here is a dove. He descended on Jesus like a dove. Or is an influence in our lives that changes the way and influence us and help us in what we do. And while that's all metaphorically true, the reality is he's a person. He's a person like you and I. Remember back in Genesis 1 verse 27, it says, it's not in the slides, Matt, but Genesis 1:27 says, and God said, let us create man in our own image. God said, let us create man in our own image and our own likeness. And he created them man and woman, male and female. That's how God created us, male and female in his own likeness and his own image. Now, how wonderful it is, sometimes we just got to step back a little bit and look how we like to do things. There are things in this world that offend us. There are things that make us happy and joyful. And that's the image and the likeness of God. Sometimes people misunderstand. They think that when God said, let us create man and woman in our own image, they think of they just limit it to the external features of our bodies and to our sexuality. But that's not what that scripture says. That was way before God formed us. He created us male and female in the image and the likeness of God. And I want to present to you today that Holy Spirit, he's a person. And what are some of the things if you say that somebody's a person? First of all, you say he's got a mind or a person has a mind. And we read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And I want you to pay attention as we read the scriptures today, where he talks about the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things, or in some translations it says the thoughts of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We just, it's so wonderful in that song we just sang. We sang about the love of the Spirit. And the next one is actually he loves. And I don't think we fully understand and comprehend how much he loves us, how much the Holy Spirit loves us, how he yearns to be with us. And it's so refreshing, that song, to hear such a wonderful song on the Holy Spirit where you welcome him in. When you say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. If he's a person, imagine if a person, if a stranger walks into these doors and all we do is ignore that person. That person might have, for all we know, that person out there could have stopped something to wreck our cars. We're unaware of it. He loves us. That person doesn't even know us, yet he loves us so much, and we ignore that person. Sometimes that's exactly what we do in our lives with the Holy Spirit. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the Bible says at that time the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts, and he comes and he marks us, he seals us for the day of redemption. We are now branded, we are now marked as God's children. He is in us. Now, if the Holy Spirit is in us, do we ever speak to him? What are the places we go to? He loves us. Now, I urge you, brethren, by the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, the love of the Spirit, what are the things we subject the Holy Spirit to through our eyes? The conversations we have? The thoughts we think? The way we react to people? Have we ever thought about that? Have we ever thought about that there is another person that is with us, that dwells within us, that we make subject to all these things, whether it be lust of the eye, whether it be the words we speak to each other? Is that really what we want God to experience in us? Remember one thing, the Holy Spirit is very gentle. He is very gentle. Extremely gentle. He will never force himself upon anybody else. I'm reminded of that scripture in Deuteronomy where Joshua, when Moses talked to the people, and Joshua again in the first book of Joshua, he says, "Now I set before you today the paths of life and death. I urge you to choose life." That's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't come and put a hook in your mouth and drag you down a path. He will present to you the way of life. And he will warn you about the way of death. And if you choose to go down the way of death, he will not, he will constantly remind you, but he will not drag you. And that's the scary thing. If we sear our consciences to the voice of the Holy Spirit when he starts speaking to us. Remember with Samson. Now, Samson, for those of you who might not know, he was anointed by God to judge his people, to liberate them from the Philistines. And the Holy Spirit came upon him as a child, and he was immensely strong. He was very strong. He carried, I don't know how many tons that gate was once that he carried up to a hill. He killed how many Philistines. He had such strength on him because of the Holy Spirit that was on him. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but he flirted with unrighteousness in his life. And it came down to a time in his life with Delilah where he spilled the beans, so to speak, of the power of his strength. And he said, well, it's in my obedience to God by not cutting my hair. Now, that might sound silly to you. What's hair got to do with it? Everything. It's the obedience. Everything. It's the obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit appeared to his parents and said, this and this and this and this you shall do with your son. And we have to remember, and we read there, the Holy Spirit came on him and he was strong. But when the Holy Spirit left him, he did not know it. When we offend the Holy Spirit, he will just draw back. And without you knowing it, you can sear your conscience so much to his voice that you stop hearing him. And one day you find yourself in a place where you feel like, God, why aren't you speaking to me? I'm in such a mess today. And God will gently remind you, I've been speaking to you all along. But without you even knowing, my voice has gone quiet in your life. Not because I'm not speaking, but because you're not listening. You're not sensitive to my voice any longer. We have to pay so much attention to that fact. And you'll understand a little bit later why that is. And the beautiful thing about this is about his voice when he's inside of you. He teaches us. And that is absolutely, to me, that is amazing, how the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us, he reveals to us. We read there, and I can put so many scriptures up there. I've picked this one, but later on we'll read another scripture. It says, and we are setting these truths forth in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. By the way, I'm using the Amplified version here today. So if you see anything in square brackets, that basically just expands what the original Greek or the Hebrew translations say, how you could also interpret it. Anything in round brackets is basically a replacement for the word preceding it that you can also replace that with, just so you understand. We are taught by the Holy Spirit. I've had so many people in my life ask me, which Bible college have you gone to? Now, I've got absolutely nothing against Bible colleges. Praise God for people that are hearing God's voice and teaching other people how to become better students of God. But my Bible college has been the Holy Spirit. He's been my teacher. And he's used many different people in my life to speak into my heart, to speak into my life. But most of all, it's come through revelation, by reading his word, by spending time with him, because I understand the fact that he loves me. I understand the fact that he loves all of us, that not only did Jesus Christ die for us, but he went to the Father and he sent his Holy Spirit to us. His Holy Spirit is not a little deity. It's not the little God like, oh, you lost the lottery, you go now. In fact, he is the power in the Godhead. If we go to Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it gets to verse 2, and it says, then the earth was void and without form, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then God began to create. Sometimes in our lives, we will find that our life feel empty and void without form. God created us. We were saved. We are saved. But then things happen. Stuff happened to all of us in this world. Whether we like it or not, we're in this world. But the Bible says we're not from this world. But sometimes things just happen to us. And we find ourselves later on and we look at our lives and we say, what a mess. Empty and void without form. Oh, I remember the good old days. I remember the good old days, the days when my life had form, had meaning, had potential, had shape. You still have the same meaning. Your life still has the same potential. Your life can still take form. What you need to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to come and hover over your waters, over your empty and your void life, and you will see a work of restoration where God will come and say, let there be light. And in your light, there is light. In your life, there is light. All of a sudden, there is creation taking place in your life. Why? Because you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, because of our lusts and our desires that pushes the Holy Spirit aside in our lives, God will allow us and give us over to the lusts of our hearts so that we can get to the place where we're so broken and when we're so in desperate need of God that we haven't got money to fall back onto, we haven't got reputation, we haven't got assets, nothing. That's exactly where God wants us sometimes, so that the only thing that can bring us out of that, or the only person that can bring us out of that, is God. So that you can stand one day before in front of people, and your testimony is not about how good I was, how well my investments performed, but about, you know what? I was in the pit with the pigs. eating pig food, but my Father in heaven, he saw it fit to take me back. When he saw me coming back, he ran for me. And he said, welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Come and enjoy the feast that I've prepared for you. Kill the fattened calf for my son, for he was lost and now he's found again. He was away from me, but he's back again. That is what God does for us so that he can get the glory. He and he only. God is a jealous God. He will never share his glory with any man. So he will make sure in our lives that he will get the glory for everything. A person has a will. All of us have a will. Sometimes stubborn, sometimes very yielding. But the Holy Spirit has a will. There are many scriptures in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, where you read where Peter saying, I wanted to go there, but then the Holy Spirit. Paul will write, I wanted to come to you guys, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a will. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he will. The Holy Spirit has a will. And it's important for us to understand, if we recognize that the Holy Spirit has a will, then we need to ask him, Holy Spirit, what is your will for me in this situation? I can give you a quick testimony. I didn't plan on this, but my wife and I, we try to be in an agreement with the Holy Spirit and with God's will for our lives. And he will sometimes allow us to go through situations to make sure that we value him and we place his will above our own will. I was telling Pastor Ken yesterday, at some point in our lives, we bought a block of land. And you know what the funny thing is? Before we bought the block of land, Annette and I, we fasted and we prayed. We sought God's face. And we had favor on the transaction and we bought the block of land. Then we started planning to build a house on it. And we fasted and we prayed and God opened up doors for us. We started drawing up the house. We got a builder. We started going through the whole thing. And we had favor. Every time there was a major decision or money that had to be paid or a contract to be signed, we fasted and we prayed. And we got to the end. The final step was basically to sign with a bank. And that was it. And we fasted and we prayed and God removed all peace. All peace from our hearts. And at that point, we've already spent a significant amount of money to drawing our plans and everything else. But we humbled ourselves and we said, Holy Spirit, what is your will for us here? Only you know the future. Only you know what is going to happen here. Now, we could have just gone back and said, well, he gave us favor to buy the block. He gave us favor to engage with the contractors. He gave us favor to engage with the builders. He gave us favor every path so far. And we could have just gone on and said, well, that's it. And that's how sometimes we miss the will of God for our lives, the will of the Holy Spirit. But at that point, he removed all peace from our hearts. All favor was withdrawn. And we could have, in our flesh, we could have pursued it further, and we would have been able to make it all happen. But I tell you what, I chose to be obedient to God's will. And we said, even if it's going to cost us anything, we will step aside and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. See, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you make a decision in your life to say, God, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to seek your kingdom first. I'm going to seek your will first for my life and your righteousness. You will find that the way you transact changes. Because Holy Spirit is not a person that waits here for you at these doors on a Sunday morning and then when you leave, he stays behind. You've got to remember, he wants to desperately be involved in our lives. Every minute of the day, every second, every decision. And that does not mean that all of a sudden our lives go from thorny to sunshine. But what that means is that he will navigate us through the thorny situations. He will help us through the darkness by being the light for us. He will give us hope when we feel hopeless and we're in despair, when we feel downcast and depressed. When that comes upon us, we can rely on him. And he says, I will pour on you the oil of gladness. Right there and then. You have access to God Almighty, who created the universe, who created you, who formed you in your mother's womb, by a whisper, by a thought saying, God, please help me here. God, I'm about to do this exam. Through your Holy Spirit, help me to draw deep in the well of the things of God and in the things that I've learned and bring it to my mind again. And he will be faithful. I guarantee you he'll be. He's never failed me. I can stand here for hours and literally say hours to give you testimony after testimony of how good he's been to us. Now, I want to speak to you about more of the personality of the Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets very interesting, because I think this is where a lot of revelation comes. But the Holy Spirit, he can be grieved. Now, grieved, the word grieve means to cause great distress to someone. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Remember earlier I was talking about he seals you for the day of redemption. It says, do not grieve him. Now, can you grieve an object? No. Can you grieve an it? No. Can I grieve a person that have got no affection or affiliation to me? No, I can offend them, but I can't grieve them. See, grieve is used in context of a very intimate relationship. I can't grieve somebody that's not intimate to me, but I can grieve my wife. He's very sensitive. He is the most sensitive in the Trinity. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Now, that's interesting that Peter spoke to husbands and he says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. But he never said to the wives, wives, dwell with your husbands with understanding. Now, if we go back in the Bible and we read it, we see God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God the Father. But the Holy Spirit is never assigned. He's never talked about as the Father or the Son. He's, if you can put it gender neutral, but in fact, most of the translations, there's a lot of words that translate that gives the Holy Spirit feminine attributes. And I'm not talking about who we are outside. I'm talking about emotions. I'm talking about feelings. I'm talking about personality. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive. And I would subject to you, and I'll submit to you, that the Holy Spirit carries the feminine attributes that we see in our wives. That's why women understand the Holy Spirit like that. That is why women has such a capability and understanding of Holy Spirit like that. You will see women just fall out in the Holy Spirit and they understand and they hear his voice because they understand him very quickly. Husbands, we're a bit different. But let me give you another example. You can talk about me. Say anything you like. And this is just practical. I want to make it practical to you. You know, you can talk bad about me. I'll forgive you. You know what? Water off a duck's back. You know, you can slander me, you can talk about my children, you're now beginning to touch me, but don't you dare talk about my wife. Don't you dare. And I want to show you that in the scripture, in the next slide, where Jesus is doing exactly the same. He says, you can talk about me, you can talk about the Father badly, you can blaspheme us, but don't you dare blaspheme the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy, every evil, abusive, injurious speaking or indignity against sacred things can be forgiven men. Jesus says, you can be forgiven anything. But if there's one thing that you will not be forgiven for, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not and cannot be forgiven. In verse 32, it says, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Spirit, the Holy One, will not be forgiven, either in this world and age or in the world and age to come. Do you see a father and husband protecting somebody there? Saying, you can speak about me, but don't you dare touch the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare. That is why the Holy Spirit, we got to understand Him as a relationship. The Holy Spirit wants communion. Husbands, men, we want buddies. We got to remember the Holy Spirit is like our wife, to be understood. Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. I want to say to you, especially men, dwell with the Holy Spirit with understanding. Dwell with the Holy Spirit with understanding. He is sensitive. He is holy. He loves you, but you can grieve Him. You can hurt Him. And like your wife, if you start hurting your wife, she's going to become withdrawn. She's going to become separated from you because you keep hurting, keep slandering her. Imagine every night if I come in my house and all I do is I walk straight past my wife and I just go around with my business. I go in there and get to the table and go, where's the food? Oh, here's the food. All right. Why is the floors not clean? Why is this? Why did you not make the bed? Can you imagine if that's your relationship with your wife? How long do you think my marriage will last? Be realistic. How long do you think my marriage will last? Not long. Then why do we treat the Holy Spirit like that? We walk in and we go, God, where's my promotion? I want a promotion, please. God, you know, it's a bit of a rough day today. I've got an exam. Please help me today. Where's the relationship? Where is the relationship? And that is Holy Spirit. He yearns for us. He yearns for us. Like a wife will yearn for her husband, He yearns for us. He wants to have communion, to have fellowship with us. You know, there's a saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Have you ever heard that saying? All right. Go to the next slide. And remember in context what I just said. What does it say there? But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He turned Himself to become their enemy and He fought against them. Can you imagine if you keep rebelling and fighting against God and insulting Him that His Holy Spirit start turning against you and start fighting against you? Not to destroy you, but to bring you back to Him. All of a sudden, you begin, Holy Spirit will guide you down a path and you go, oh no, I know better. This has always worked in the past, but Holy Spirit says, no. And you keep going, no, I'm going to do it this way. Oh, this must be the devil speaking to me and all of a sudden you start rebelling against this Holy Spirit. You start rebelling against the Holy Spirit in your heart. You start doing things your way with your understanding. You begin to insult Him and all of a sudden He will become your enemy. All of a sudden, the little throne, the little tower of Babylon that you've built, destruction comes to it. Every place you go, you fall out of favor. Things you were doing behind the scenes all of a sudden are exposed. Because the Holy Spirit, who will be so gentle and cover you. One thing I love about my wife, for example, I'm not perfect. I'm the last one to say I'm perfect, but she will cover me. She will cover me. When she talks to other women, she will cover me. She will cover my weaknesses. And sometimes, a lot of times, she will tell me about some of, you know, her sisters or her friends and stuff. And I go, well, that's just silly. Why would the husband do that? Why would the wife not tell the husband? She go, honey, I do the same for you. I cover you. I cover you. The Holy Spirit will cover you. But don't begin to rebel and insult him, because he will turn on you like that. Not to destroy you, but to bring you back to him, to bring you to a place where you say, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. God, forgive me. Would you take me back? And at that point, his love, he doesn't have love, he is love. He will just take you back. He will restore you. But this time when he restores you, he will build you on him, on his love. You always have the choice to go the other way. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can test him. And this is actually a scripture that's very interesting. Back in the beginning of the New Testament, after the Holy Spirit fell on the church in Jerusalem and they started prospering, all of a sudden, you know, there was revival breaking out everywhere. And they decided, the church decided, well, we're going to sell everything we have. We're going to bring it all into one, basically put it all in one bank account, and that bank account is going to be used for the widows, the orphans, and the establishment of the church. There was no requirement for people to do that. In fact, there was not even a requirement if you had two homes to sell both. They did it freely. But Ananias and Sapphira, they decided to lie, to say, look, we're going to sell everything, but we're going to keep a little bit to ourselves, but we're going to say we've given them all. All of a sudden, in the flesh, they tried to lie to the Holy Spirit and test them. Needless to say, Ananias dropped dead in the church. I believe that glory times, I believe it with all my heart, is coming back to the church, where the fear of God is going to be in churches, where people are going to fear and revere God so much that if they lie to the Holy Spirit, these days are going to come back. It says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? A little bit later, his wife came looking for her husband. And Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of God to the test? As I said before, you can resist the Holy Spirit. That is so amazing. He's so powerful. He's God Almighty. But he's so sensitive to our needs and everything we have. You know, when Jesus, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, as he was beginning to prepare his disciples, he said to them, it is better for you that I go away. It is better for you. Why? Because imagine if Jesus was on the earth today. We have 7 billion people on the earth. Jesus performs miracles, etc. And all of a sudden, all of us, let's just say a million of us wants access to Christ right now. And Christ can give you, each one of us, 60 seconds. You're going to have to wait 3.5 years before it's your turn. And then you better have your story straight because you've got 60 seconds. Jesus said, it is so much better that I go away. Because when I go away, I will ask the Father to send you another one. Now that word, another one, it is so... Matt, it's on slide 14. Another one. It's the Greek word allos, which means it's another of the same kind. Now, if I say to you, I will exchange your red apple for a green apple, I'm giving you another of the same kind. But if I say I'm going to give you an orange instead of the apple, it is another of a different kind, and there's a different word used for it. So here Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but I'm going to ask the Father to send you another one of the same kind. Read it in that context. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Isn't that wonderful? Where does if you think of it, when your children are young and they stub their toes or they get hurt, who do they run to? I get so frustrated, they never come to me. They go to Mummy. He's our comforter. He is our comforter. Isn't that amazing how you begin to see those personality attributes of the Holy Spirit? He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener and our standby, that he may remain with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome or take into his heart. Other translations also say those who live worldly. That's interesting. Those who live worldly. Because it does not see him or know him and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. How amazing is that? I will not leave you comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back to you. How amazing is that? That today, God the Father is in heaven. He is seated on his throne. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is seated at his right hand. Jesus is not here on earth. The Father is not here on earth. But another of the same kind, the Holy Spirit, is here with us, and he's everywhere. He's all over us, everywhere we are. You know what the amazing thing is? I heard a guy came up to me one day, and he said to me, and he started talking to me about this new gospel. Next slide, Matt. And it was really weird. And I said to him, mate, where are you getting all these things from? He said, oh, Jesus appeared to me. And he said that he's going to use me. I'm going to be like John the Baptist was. I'm going to give the people new revelation, a new thing for what is going to happen and how they should interpret the Bible, etc. But what does the Holy Spirit do? He will testify of Jesus Christ. Every time you get anything in your life or any person that comes to you and say, I've heard from the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't testify or glorify Jesus Christ, discard that straight away. Don't even entertain that. Do not even listen to that. Discard it completely, because the Holy Spirit in our hearts will always testify of Jesus, will always glorify Jesus. But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. He will testify regarding Jesus Christ. Matt, can we go back to slide 12, please? Let's read that together. This is Jesus speaking. He says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. Now, amazingly, that Jesus should prefix that with nothing but the truth, because Jesus never lied to them. But here he has to explicitly say to them, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. Let's see what he says. When I say it is profitable, it is good, expedient, or advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you or into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin, about righteousness. That's the uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler, the evil genius, or the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. How amazing is that when the Holy Spirit comes to us, when he came to this world. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly convicting the world, those who are not with Christ, of sin in their lives. Try to bring them to God. But as soon as you come to Christ, he now convicts you of righteousness, of your right standing with God. He convicts you that you are good enough through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that he paid for you. It is not a condemnation. He brings conviction. I am now convicted, Satan, that no matter what you remind me of my past, I am in right standing with God. I am in righteousness. And the Satan, the ruler and the evil genius of this world, he's already been judged. I live victorious. That is how we should read that scripture, because that is what it says. A lot of times we think, oh, it's bad. Oh, he's gonna convict us of righteousness. Oh, it's bad. No, it's not. It's fantastic. It convicts you. It convinces you of your righteousness with God and through what Jesus has done for you. The next slide, it's verse 12. I still have many things to say to you. This is Jesus saying. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them or take them upon you or grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own message or on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. A lot of people I meet today, a lot of people you'll meet say, God has stopped speaking to us. There are no more prophets. Prophecy has gone by. Hang on. He will announce to us the things that are to come. What else is that than prophecy? He will announce to you the things that are to come in your life. I've got things in my life that Holy Spirit has announced to me they're coming. Did not say a time, but I know they're coming in my life. And I am waiting and I'm pressing in to God that those things will come true in my life. He will honor and glorify me. Remember what I said before? He will honor and glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always honor and glorify Jesus. If you have anything that glorifies a person, a ministry, a situation, a leadership, that is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will glorify and testify of Jesus Christ only. Because he will take off and draw upon, receive and draw upon what is mine and will reveal. He will declare, disclose, transmit it to you. How awesome it is that when we read the Bible, that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. And I want to tell you, before you open the Bible, say, Holy Spirit, would you reveal this word to me? Psalm 119, verse 130 says that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding. We need to ask him to reveal it to us. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal it to you. How amazing is it? It is not just talking about revelation in the Word. He says everything everything that the Father has is mine. The Bible declares that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. The Bible declares that all gold and all riches belong to God. Salvation belongs to our Lord. Everything that the Father has is mine. And what will the Holy Spirit do to us? He will reveal to you how you can obtain it through business ideas, through knowledge that's hidden from others. He will reveal it to you. How amazing is that? That you could be in a situation and you could feel, God, my business is just at a place, or in my workplace, I'm at a place where I really need breakthrough. He is not just a Sunday Jesus or a Sunday Holy Spirit. He wants to help you. He wants to reveal to you, wants to bring to light you and reveal to you how you can obtain the cattle on 1,000 hills because it belongs to the Father. And Jesus said, everything the Father has is mine. That is what I meant and said, that he will take the things that are mine and will reveal it to you. I love the fact that so many times I'm just in conversation with people. Even as I'm standing here, Matt, on slide 18, that he will remind us. There are things, there are scriptures that will just come to your heart. And he will just remind you. Sometimes he will just remind you of the penalty and the price that Jesus has paid, that you do not have to go through this life sick, full of hurt, full of anger, full of grief. That Jesus has paid it. He will reveal it to you. The grace. Oh, I love this. Now remember, in the context of the relationship we spoke about before, I'm going to finish here. Paul closes off his last letter to the church in Corinth. And this is what he leaves them with. He says, the grace, the favor and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence and fellowship. Look at that presence and fellowship. It's the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word fellowship and communion in the Holy Spirit, it means his presence. Means fellowship, sharing together, participation or partnership, intimacy, friendship, communion. That is why it is so, so, so important to not ignore the Holy Spirit, because he yearns for presence, for fellowship with you, for intimacy and friendship, that communion with you. He yearns for that. He doesn't... If God wanted, remember Jesus said, I do not leave you as orphans. He didn't give us a red button which we need to press when we're in trouble. He gave us the Holy Spirit, which yearns for intimacy, for fellowship with all of us. And you know when that starts? The moment you wake up in the morning. You know when that finishes? Never. Every time, every moment of the day, you need to live your life in intimacy, in fellowship, sharing together with the Holy Spirit. He's always with you. You can share your frustrations with him. He knows it anyway. Who are you hiding it from? You can share your love for him. Participation, partnership. The Holy Spirit works with us. We read, I'm not going to go through those scriptures now, I haven't got time. But you read in the book of Acts, and they were constantly, the disciples or the apostles were in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It says in one place, it says, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's amazing. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. They had intimate relationship and friendship with the Holy Spirit. There's another scripture where if you read it carefully in the book of Acts, where they clearly distinguish between the voice of an angel and the voice of Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this, and it's a challenge. If an angel spoke to you today and the Holy Spirit speak to you today, can you discern their voice in your life? Can you discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life from every other voice? Or are you now in a place where you realize that, God, I need more of you. I need to spend more time with you, more fellowship with you. And you know that all begins with a simple prayer. A prayer of forgiveness. Where you say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to forgive me for where I've ignored you. I ask you to forgive me for every time that I have dragged you through situations. Because remember, our body, Ken said it before, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. Just because you might not believe it, or you might go to situations where you're not thinking of him, doesn't negate it. It doesn't cancel it out. It doesn't mean he's not there. He is there. Every time you say a harsh word to your wife or your husband, he is there. In fact, every time you say a harsh word to another Christian, he's not just in you, but he's in them. Have you thought of that? Wouldn't that change the way you speak to people? Remember, even the people that have not come to Christ yet, he's there, he's convicting them of sin in their lives. What are you doing? How's the Holy Spirit in your heart? Is he showing them love? Or is he convicting them of judgment? Don't worry about judging people. Show them the love of the Father. That is what the Holy Spirit will do. It's not our job to convict the world of sin. They know they're sinners. I have never met a person in the world that is lost that doesn't admit that they have sin in their lives. They know there is something wrong. They are searching for something more than what they have. It is not our job to be a preacher of doom. It is our job to be the temple of Holy Spirit that reveal the glory and the love and forgiveness of the Father to them. Just think back a little bit in your own life, how many times you've turned your back on Him and how many times He's accepted you back. How many times were you the one that was lost and blind, but that I found today? The Holy Spirit loves us all. He loves us so much. Next week, I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So now that we understand who the precious Holy Spirit is, and I wish I had more time, next week I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about speaking in tongues. I want to talk about laying on of hands. And I want to reveal to you out of the Scripture what the Word of God says about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, how He empowers us. Can we all just stand to our feet, please? Matt, that song there, can you play it, please? And while this song is playing, if you want to come to the front, that's fine. But if this word has challenged you today, and you know there are things in your life, there are ways that you've, places you've taken the Holy Spirit in your life, things you've said, things you've done, and you just want to start afresh, you want to say, God, Holy Spirit, please forgive.